when it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Försök nummer två. Nu har vi suttit och snackat här, för det var inte inspelat. Och jag, som heter Hanna, som kommer vara er värd den resa ikväll, i Klocksnack med Sanna och Hanna, tar på mig detta ansvar. Så om diskussionen låter som att den är konstig, så är det för att det är gång nummer två. Sanna, jag tar på mig denna. Och vad säger du? Är du med?
Jag är med.
Nu åker vi. Och vi kommer faktiskt att byta språk ganska snart. För vi har en gäst med oss. Och det är kanske också för att Sanna och jag delar mix, om det låter som att vi sitter lite off. Det är bara att vi sitter väldigt nära och mysar.
Och tar mikrofonen fram och tillbaka.
Mm. Så nu säger vi, let's get this show on the road and welcome our very, very special guest. Sanna, would you do the honor of introducing her? You'd think somebody who's rehearsed would do this better, but you know, here we are.
Of course, because we are very, very excited today. We have with us a person whose Instagram I absolutely love. It's an account that brings so much joy. And it's also one of the nicest people I have ever met. So a warm welcome to Lydia Winters.
Oh, thank you, Sanna. I didn't get less embarrassed by hearing it twice. I was like, oh no, it's coming, this nice introduction.
Don't worry, it's so dark out, we barely notice you blushing.
Yeah, exactly. It's very, very red. But super nice to be here. So excited to talk watches.
And it's funny because us watch nerds tend to think that the world evolves around watches, and that everybody knows everything about watches, and that it's totally reasonable to geek out like we do. But the funny thing is, I was in a studio taking pictures of something else for an occasion the other week, and my aunt, who's a professional photographer, and I was like, we're recording a podcast and I think you should look at her photos because I think they're really cool. And she's very into flowers, by the way.
Yes. I like her already.
She has a dahlia garden, and so she takes a lot of pictures. And she's like, wow, this is so cool. I really like the technique, but the best thing about it, she shares what she does. She shares the behind the scenes. Us photographers tend to like not, you know, share our secrets, our trade secrets. We just don't. And then she asked me, like, is she a photographer? I'm like, I think it's a hobby. Is it just a hobby?
So I was a professional photographer long ago. I took photos of weddings for a while and portraits. I was like, I got paid for it. So I was professional. I would say I look back and sometimes I'm like, okay, I've learned a lot since then. But since then it's been a hobby. That was like maybe 15 years ago that I was shooting professionally. And then for me, just like developing my style over time and just taking photos, like I love it so much. So it's kind of fun and weird now when it's full circle. And then sometimes I do photography jobs and I'm like, whoa, this, you know, like I'm back to kind like being a professional if you're paid for it. So it's like a very weird roundabout way where I'm like, I wouldn't have expected to get into photography this way, but I do love sharing it. That's one thing I feel very strongly about, is that like within any community, the community is better the more you share. Like I love photos. So why wouldn't I want to see more photos that people take? And then if I share what I'm doing, maybe they learn something from it, or maybe they just learn something about me. That's why my behind the scenes are like a mix of information and a mix of silliness, because I was like, here, you get this like little view into who I am. But I think so often, you know, everything is paid and it feels like, hey, the only way you can see this is like if you do something, whether it's pay or, you know, subscribe. And so I feel like for me, I like that it's just a way to like connect with people. And, you know, sometimes my mom says, oh, your BTS is even better than your photos. And I'm like, well, mom, I like the photos too. But I get what she means, because it really is about like building community and building a way to help other people. And then that means that if I show all my secrets, I have to do better and cooler things. And then that's also good.
Yeah, because I think you do really do cool things. I mean, your photos sort of stand out in the crowd. We're all guilty of the wrist shot, the crappy ones with the iPhone in poor light. Not all has court-appointed photographers like Sana does, but hey, we make do. I think what I really like about it, because I work with marketing, I think there's a cohesiveness to your style in terms of aesthetic, and then that translates into your watch style, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like they mesh.
Yeah, I think they do. I think sometimes I'm guilty of like the outliers of like watches that maybe don't fit into the style, don't make it on Instagram sometimes, as I have some watches here that are quite different from what I post online. But for me, it's just about like what the inspiration is. And so a lot of times it's just looking around, like the seasons, the colors kind of change on my Instagram based on if it's summer or winter or autumn, because it's like, oh, I'm excited about leaves. I'm excited about the flowers. There's not many flowers in winter, so you don't typically see them on my Instagram. But I really enjoy just finding that inspiration kind of everywhere, and developing a style has come from a lot of photography for many, many years, because I always looked at other people's style and I felt like I want to have that style or that style. And so it was interesting and exciting for me that during watch photography, like I say I found it, but it wasn't like hiding. I developed a style that I really like and feel like is the most true to who I am.
And has that been true of your watch collection too?
No, I think my watch collection is all over the place in a very different way. It's because it's very much based on feelings, which my photography is too, but there's like things I gravitate towards. But with watches, since I am still a relatively new collector in the past 3 or 4 years, I'm just a bit like, I love watches. So sometimes it's like, oh, I saw that. I love it. I want it. And so that's why I can have, you know, I have a lot of modern Rolex, but then I also have like different vintage pieces that are like much more stereotypically feminine or small. You know, it's like there's a very big range of sizes and materials and just like look.
So how did it all start with the watches? Like what got you into watches?
So back in, I think 2012, actually was like, I just saw a photo maybe 2 days ago that was like 11 years ago, I guess 11 years ago on this day, like Vu gave me a Tag Heuer link, and he just like brought it home as a present, just randomly.
Oh, so you just had a watch-iversary.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, oh, I've had that watch for so long. And I I guess it was 2012, if it's 11 years ago. And it was beautiful. It was when I had a very different style at the time. So it was like small and pink and had small diamonds on it, which I don't think people think of when they think of me. So you can like a very big style evolution over 11 years, but I loved wearing it. It was not the watch that got me into watches, but it was like my first luxury watch. Then he bought me a tiny Omega, a vintage Omega from like the 50s. And it was like so small and so cute. Again, like, it, you know, I would wear both of those like more for special occasions. So I didn't learn the sort of feeling of having a watch. Like, oh, if I don't have a watch on my wrist, I have to go back in the house. It was more like, okay, I grab them occasionally.
Do you have that now though? Do you feel naked?
Oh yeah. Yeah. If I don't, I'm like, turn this car around. Both of us have like, at any point you can be like, I should say my partner is very into watches too. At any point it's like, hey, we forgot the watch. It's like, we're going back to get the watch.
I've run late to a meeting because I forgot to put on jewelry. But the worst time was when I left for a work trip for 14 days and I had one ring with me and I felt naked.
No.
And I was also newly engaged. I hadn't even got my engagement ring yet because I proposed without a ring and then I just put one on and that was the only one I wore and it was just bad. I was even contemplating buying more jewelry on the trip, but then there were just no shops around, which sort of saved my wallet, but that was it.
Yeah, it's a very weird feeling when you're like, oh no. oh no, where is the watch? So I did not feel that until in 2013 for Christmas, he was like, I'm going to try this again. So like, why don't we go to the AD and you pick out a watch? And I was like, I like the sound of that. So I tried on everything at the store. And this is the AD that we've now been with for, you know, over 10 years and or almost 10 years. And I tried on the Cartier Tank Solo. Obviously, like, I think maybe even more for women than for men is like a Cartier tank. It's like it's iconic. Princess Diana, you know, like you can look through history and like, okay, this is someone I'm going to be. So I don't think my style at all fit it when I got it, but I just felt like, yeah, this is where I'm going. This is like, I never thought I could have something like this. So I was just blown away. And when I got it, I think a few weeks before Christmas, because he is not someone who waits. The present is given when, if it's in his hand, it's in my hand. He's like, it's Christmas is today.
Oh, and we have so much in common. Yes, I just yes, can't exactly. Wait.
I'm always like, I just always wait. And he's like, here it is. And I remember just thinking like, this is the most beautiful thing. Like, and I still feel that way. Like that watch, I just never imagined having something like that. And so immediately he was like, what are you going to get next? And I was like, oh my God, nothing. Like, you just gave me the most perfect thing. And that's him in a nutshell. And then like a month later, we were going up to the north of Sweden and to see the northern lights and we were going to photograph them. And like in January, so it was like, you know, like we're going like cold, dead of winter. And I was like, look, it's a Sunday night. Don't freak out. And he's like, what? I'm going to go buy myself a Rolex. And he was like, what? And it was just like the excitement. Like, it was as if I was like, I'm going to buy you a Rolex. Like, that's what you would think that the level of excitement was, that he was getting something. But he was just so excited for me. And then when I picked out a Datejust on the Oyster bracelet, and that was like, I stand by that as a perfect two watch collection for me. I could wear, you know, for any occasion. I had something sporty, I had something that I could, you know, go outside with, and I also had something elegant and beautiful. And so I probably should have stuck with that.
Yeah.
As everyone says, like, oh man.
But there's a saying in Swedish, you know, mycket vill ha mer. Like, once you get over that two watch threshold, shit can go south very, very quickly.
Oh yeah. I mean, that's definitely what happened. It took a long time though. So I will say, like, my Datejust, I've worn around the world. Like, it went everywhere with me. There was never like, because in a way it was so freeing. There wasn't a choice. It wasn't like, should I take this one or that one? It was all, you know, it's like, this is the perfect watch to travel in for the places I was going. I'm not saying everywhere. It's the perfect watch. But then you know, getting into the pandemic, right ahead of the pandemic, we were taking a trip to Vietnam, and it was 5 years from when I got my Datejust. So I wanted to get it serviced. I was like, I'm very proper getting it serviced at like exactly year five.
That's also very, I have one watch and I have one new watch.
Oh yeah, exactly. We were having this exact discussion, Boo and I, in the car the other day, and I'm like, I'm not servicing all of these on the date because now I've been collecting a bit too much in a bunch. So we're only taking you in if you're misbehaving. It's a very one watch, because I was like, he's like, why did you take it in at five? I was like, because that's when I was supposed to. And so it was in for service and I wasn't getting it back in time. We had a trip to Vietnam. Vu is half Vietnamese, and so he has some family there still. And I was like, I'm gonna buy a Tudor mini sub. I honestly can't think of how I came up with that. Like, I have no idea. I mean, we were like starting to talk watches more, but I was just like, this one is cute and it's a small diver and I love it. I still have it. It's amazing. But then that kind of just really, like, the cascade from there went very, very deep. And he was just like pulling, like, let's listen to this podcast with 10 and 2, Kat and Catlin, two women collectors. So he was very smart about, like, you know, allowing me to kind of just, I was like, I absorbed so much information that eventually I was just like, I collect watches now. I mean, I was like, it just happened.
Basically, Vu is your sauna.
Yes, exactly.
Because we all have that one person in life who sort of, once you start showing, you give them the pinky finger into an interest, and then you sit there with like six watches in fewer months. And then, yeah.
And that's why you love me.
Yeah, I do. But you're a terrible influence on my wallet. You and Kaplan's, and I spoke to Denke, the other host of this podcast the other day, and I'm like, the three of you in combination has just been a menace. I had a daily driver. I had a big diver that I bought, like a proper Omega, but then my daily driver that I wore day and night for the better part of 4 years or 5 years, because... Well, the people at Krons, also connected to Niemanns, told me, you probably shouldn't take your Planet Ocean rock climbing. So I went and got a smartwatch, which looks beat up as all. Because, yeah, I wore it every day. And I wore jewelry with it, like diamond rings and a 52mm smartwatch. Why don't ya? And that sort of became my thing. But then here we are, 6 months later, and I have a 28mm watch.
And it's all you. Host a watch podcast. You know, it's real quick. I have to say, it goes from like, you know, me like, I'm not going to, you know, Vu's like, why don't you take watch photos? I was like, that is so stupid. To now I'm like, well, we have a channel on YouTube about watch photography. It's like, I don't know. It's like, it really, it's a hobby that sucks you in.
It does. And all of a sudden I can spend hours in like a watch forum and like discussing guilloche enameling, and I don't know, and this reference over that, I can never remember the watch references, but neither. you know, here we are. But speaking of watch collections, we should do a wrist check.
Yes.
Sana, take it away.
Okay, I'll start. Well, today I'm wearing my Longines Heritage 1945, my first ever new watch. I saw it on the Basel Fair in 2017. I fell in love. I had to have it. And I think I actually got one of the first that was delivered to Sweden.
Oh, that's so cool. I actually, when I looked at your wrist, I was like, that's modern for you. I love it. Still 2017. So it's like not, but it, you know, that's very different.
Well, it's vintage inspired.
That's true. Yeah. And it's beautiful.
It is very pretty. And it's funny how we always sort of synchronize. Like in the beginning when we did this podcast, we actually talked and like, what watch should we wear podcasting? Because it probably means good luck. And as it turns out, we have very similar watch collections. And then today we didn't talk, but there's still a similarity. And because I'm wearing Bob, the famous Breitling, who is my first vintage watch. So you have your first new watch and I have my first vintage watch. So I'm wearing my trusted Bob, bought from Kaplan's, a 90s baby like myself, a Breitling Premier, 36.5mm chronograph, which, by the way, is a complication of love because it doesn't have a date, meaning that if the power reserve runs out, you only have to set the time and you don't even have to worry about if it's PM or AM. And that's efficient.
That is true. That is efficient.
But so, Lydia, it's your turn now.
Yes.
What's on your wrist?
I am wearing the Rolex Oyster Perpetual Petrol Celebration Dial that I got about 3 months ago.
The bubble watch.
The bubbles. Yeah.
The InstaWatch to end all InstaWatches.
Yeah, I have a lot of nerdy facts about it because there's 14 different size bubbles. So when it first came out, then I wanted to make an like a silly Instagram post. And so I took the reference image off of the Rolex account. And then I was like, oh, okay, I'll like hole punch these little bubbles and like put them on my turquoise OP. And so I, you know, used eyelash glue. If you can put it on your eyes, you can put it on a watch. Like, you're, it's too bad. And glued them onto my OP and did like a fake new watch alert as a joke. But I learned so many facts about the different size bubbles that I, as someone who really loves design, was super fascinated by. Because on first glance, I was like, oh, there's three sizes. And then when I started like I was like cutting out the sizes on my iPad. Like, oh, that's size one, size. So it became like I went really deep.
Not your quickest Instagram post.
No, definitely not. I was like, these little circles are stuck everywhere.
But people have a lot of feelings about this watch. So was it something that you really loved from the start or did it grow on you?
I didn't love it from the start. I didn't hate it though. I was more like, I reserve the right to love it later. I was like, I probably, because I also didn't love the colors. So when
you didn't?
No, I didn't like them at all. When I first saw the colorful OPs, which was kind of right at the beginning of me getting into watch collecting, because I remember when they released and everyone's like, colorful Rolex. I was like, the colors are fine. None of the colors are my yeah, which I say now, and I have two and the celebration. So obviously they were, but it's like I kind of need things to grow on me a bit. I know that my first response, which is really hard for Vu because he's like, what do you think about this? I'm like, ugly. Hate it. Like, you shouldn't buy it. And then later I'm like, oh yeah, you know what, the James Bond Omega is really beautiful. And he's like, what? I showed you that in the store 2 years ago. I was like, oh, I didn't like it then.
It's a woman's right to change her mind.
Yeah, exactly. And I do, now I feel a bit more like I say, I'm not sure about it yet. Because I do know that over time, I am a little more open to like watches with different designs. And so for this one, I was like, I think I could imagine liking that one. And I do think it's better in person. So that's the part. When I saw it in person, then I was like, oh, okay, that it really looks like something special. I thought it would feel way too busy because it's still like 36 is a small, you know, a nice size dial, but it's not tons of space. And then when I saw it in person, I was like, okay, actually, it looks amazing. I love it.
It's so whimsical. And I have this thing where I love things that in Sweden we'd say skaver, you know, like there's a little pebble in your shoe and it's sort of this itch you can't scratch. So somebody who wears like a teeny tiny, like there's Timothy Chalamet wears this women's Pantera.
I love it.
And it's this super cool actor, or girls who wear these big ass divers with their business suits because there is like a dissonance in what they wear. And I'm not saying this is that, but it's in break from Rolex tradition. So it's like a juxtaposition between colorful bubbles, swatchy, and then, but still, an Oyster bracelet and Rolex movement.
Yeah, and like, I feel like, I mean, the other thing to me is like, it feels like they're saying like, and now they're done. Like when you call something celebration, it's usually like, ta-da. So I do love the colors so much. And I also think the colorful dials that I have, which is the turquoise and the yellow, they have inspired my photography so much too, that I feel like to then get to have the watch that Rolex is calling the celebration of that feels really special.
It's like the muse squared.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I'm like, but at first my main when I saw this watch released, my actual main concern was like, that will not photograph well because of the, or not that it wouldn't photograph well, but it would be hard to like pair with a scene. Like, I really like color coordinating, and I was like, what would you do with all these colors on there?
What flowers are there that have all these flowers?
It's too much. Like, oh my gosh. But I disagree with that now. I feel like it's a fun challenge.
But we have to talk about this because Rolex, I think there are a few brands like it. Audemars Piguet, Patek Philippe. Like, this isn't a watch that I could walk into Neiman's and buy. Mm-hmm. Like, they would just probably laugh at me. Like, a lot. And they say, you know what? Maybe buy three other watches and wait 5 years. Maybe. And then we'd offer you a plain color.
Yeah, I mean, I know, first of all, that my, like, my story with how I, like, actually like my AD is very rare. I feel like that's so sad in watches, is like not being able to like have access, but also just feeling like you can't trust wherever you're going. I know there's so, like, sometimes people tell me stuff like, oh, this is totally normal at my AD, and I'm like, that is not, no, that's not that's not good. So for me, I feel very privileged to get to have this watch, and I also didn't expect that I would be able to have it, in the sense of, like, I never go into my AD expecting that I can get the watch I want, even though we do have a good relationship. So I think that can be something that is a bit unique, because I know that when people have made, you know, a significant amount of purchases, you can also feel very entitled to have X, Y, or Z. And I never feel that way. I was like very shocked that I was able to have this. I still feel that way every time I look down at my wrist. And so I'm just very thankful for it. And whenever I do get the opportunity to have, you know, a watch, especially when I know that it's so difficult for people with modern Rolex specifically, I don't take that for granted, because I know it's not something that everyone has. And I also, you know, we do have a long-standing relationship, so it's not a new relationship with Neiman's. We have been going for, I guess Vu bought his first watches in like 2012 or 13 there, and they know us. And I also think, you know, things like, they know I'm never selling any of them. Like, those things do help.
You don't sell any watches of your collection ever?
I haven't sold any yet, and I wouldn't sell any of my Rolex. So if I decided that any of my modern Rolexes that I didn't like it, if I felt like, oh, I don't gel with this, like, I would take it back to my AD. I wouldn't sell it secondhand unless I had kept it for, like, you know, I think there's like some statute of limitations on that if you've kept it for a long time. But I just feel like, you know, it's a very fine line where you're like, oh, I was able to get that if I turned around and sold it. Like, what's the flipping? And I never want to be on any side of that, because and they're all watches that I really want and enjoy.
Do you enjoy all the watches in your collection as much as you do this one? Or are there, like, watches that, like, meh?
I have a couple. Most of my modern watches I do love and, like, intend to keep for many years. I have a couple that are more, like, if it's a spontaneous buy, I'm always a little less, like, I didn't have as much time to think about it. Or I just, like, yeah, I'm going to do it. And then those always feel a bit harder. Like, I have an Oris Aquis Cherry that I tried on really quickly in the store, and then Vu got it for me for my birthday, and I loved the color and I thought it would be really fun, but it's also just kind of big and a little more modern than my style. So for me, that's one where I feel like the Diver 65 fits me a lot better, like, in my style and as a person. So that's probably one on the chopping block. And then also I have an IWC Pilot chronograph that I've had for, I guess, since 2020. I bought it in Japan and I love it. It's because it's a little bit smaller. And but I never reach for it. So that's kind of the hard thing, is I'm like, will I reach for this watch? Especially if I have a lot of other watches in that category. So those are the ones right now, but I'm bad at selling. So maybe I'll just start wearing them again too.
But you have brought some other watches here as well. And I'd really like us to have a look at them too.
Yes. So I brought, and one is actually one that I've gone back and forth on since I bought it, because it was a bit more of like, it's my birthday, whatever. Krona 24 scrolling has turned. I just like do it. But it's a Vacheron Constantin Harmony from the 90s, I think. And like, that's what I really liked about it. And when I do wear it, it has such a fun, like a fun, different style. I think at first, because the clasp on the back is really difficult to close. and sometimes when I have really short fingernails, I can't get it open. So I'm like, oh, it's so hard. But I think it's just really, like, it's a very cool watch. And it definitely, like, when you look at it, it's 80s, 90s all the way.
Yeah, this is so much up my alley. It's not exactly.
That's why I was trying to figure out, like, what do you bring someone who looks at beautiful watches for a living? It was very difficult, Sana. So I'm very happy.
No, I could totally see you rock this. Yeah. I mean, this would, in a lineup, I'd probably pick this for you. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a two-tone. You love 90s things.
I do.
And then this really cool sort of almost architectural vibe to the dial. Like super clean dial with, it's gold and silver, and it's
kind of mirrory, you know, like it almost looks mirrored in the silver, which I really like.
And it's in such good condition. Somebody's been loving this and taking care of this. And it's sort of the size of a medium-sized tank, just for people who aren't, we'll take a picture of it for sure. But I would love to see it on you or your wrist. I think it would look good, Sana.
Oh yeah, it might not follow Lydia home tonight.
I'm gonna have to really check. I'm gonna really have to double check my purse. I know. I'm gonna be like, hold on. There's just salami and cheese in this, which is what we're eating.
Yeah, in a total keeping, not in a break, in a keeping of tradition, we are having charcuterie and we're drinking a wine.
Oh yeah,
which is probably what we should be doing. No, and just see what we're drinking tonight.
Okay.
Do you want to have a sip first?
Oh, yes.
So in keeping with sort of the fall vibe, darkness, we're going all red today. And we're drinking sort of the same winery that we drank last time. It's called Il Maiolo, but this is Emilia. Meet Emilia. The wine is called Emilia.
I like her just because of that.
Yeah. And do you want to have a say on what it tastes like?
No. Listeners that have listened to this before know that you say the smart stuff and that I just say, this is tasty. Mm. Yeah, that's the thing with red wine. I like it. I don't know anything about it. It's just, it works. It was very like, it wasn't very heavy. It was kind of easy.
So Emilia is an Italian girl. We like those. And she's a mix of Barbera, Bonarda, Merlot, and Cab Sav. And I think she is a wine, not unlike watches, she's an acquired taste because she is quite peppery. And
if you say so.
If I say so. Well, I sort of do. No, I think she goes really well with charcuterie. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people, a misconception is with wine, unlike with watches where I think you should mix and match to your heart's content, is that if you have something really strong and powerful in terms of what you're drinking, you need to match it with bold flavors. Like if you have something sweet, you shouldn't actually counterbalance it with something super dry. You should have something sweet to drink. Hence, there is some moldy cheeses and some salami to sort of balance the strong flavors, because otherwise the wine would sort of fade out or overpower what you're eating. She is available to order on Systembolaget, Svenska Systembolaget. She is like good watches and a fine wine. Not cheap, but I think possibly worth it for a special occasion. She is 333 kroner. And if you look at Gullfelt og Company, you will be able to find her. So Il Maiolo Emilia, and thank you to Pelle for always supplying us with bevies.
Thank you.
Speaking of acquired tastes, I see a watch on the other side that is totally what I would not have expected you to have, because it's definitely not a stainless steel tool watch.
Yeah, exactly. What do you mean? Yeah, so when I was in Germany in September, I was there with watch friends. We were actually visiting Nomos and our friends from the UK, Britt and James. Britt is an amazing YouTuber who I have to give a shout out to. She just reached 100,000 subscribers on YouTube, Britt Pierce.
Whoa.
Watch Instagram, of like watch world. She's incredible. And we were there hanging out with them for a few days before, and we were in Dresden, and we, you know, we were going to all the shops. So we were like, you know, in Glashütte Original, and we were going to, the Lange boutique, and just like, I mean, it was like what you expect from watch, even like going to, you know, 80s that had new thing. Like, we've seen all those watches. I don't know why, you know, but it's just like, you're with your watch friends. We're seeing everything. And so the guys, I think, were back at Glashütte Originals boutique. And Britt and I were walking around, and we walked past this really cool vintage store that we hadn't seen yet. And they just had, I mean, they actually had so many things, which was really cool, and a lot that I hadn't seen before. And when I looked in the window, I was like, I love that watch. And it is a Chopard skeleton, like fully skeleton kind of coin watch size. I think it's 33 millimeters in gold with like a step down case. So it has a really like 80s look. I think it's around 82. And I just fell in love with it in the window. And then when we went inside, I loved it even more because everything is hand engraved. And I felt like, to me, there's something extra cool because I know that, you know, originally this, in the 80s, it would have been a, you know, a more like men's size watch. But I like that on a smaller watch to find something that's fully skeleton with a clear case all around. It just felt like something that if I wore this to a watch meetup, people wouldn't have seen it before. And that's, I just felt, yeah, I fell in love with it. Not at all what you would think of, but when I put it on the wrist, I was like, this is an amazing watch, and I will be sorry if I don't buy it.
Definitely, because I usually don't like skeletonized watches. It's not my thing at
me
all.
Me neither. I've never been. I'm like, okay, they're fine.
Yeah. But I think also today when you see them, it's like they're so big and there's so many things to them, and it's tourbillons, and it's just like it's too much and it's too crazy for me. But this is just beautiful. It's just small, and it's the details in the movement are just so beautiful. And it's just a lovely watch. So,
yeah, it's super cool. And it has this, usually skeletonized watches look very mechanical. I mean, they are, and this one still is, but there's some artistic flavor to the, it looks very organic. It looks almost flowery.
Yeah, and I know it does. It does. I think a lot of the hand engraving.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
It does. That's actually perfect, Hannah. It does have that feeling of like being more fluid and like little, like ornamental, but towards the flower. It does make more sense now that I love it.
But I also want to hear about more about your trip to Dresden, because mm-hmm. you were there and you were looking at the new Nomos watches, mm-hmm. weren't you? And how did you end up there?
Yeah, so Nomos invited us out to, they do a yearly forum, and that's for like both press and sales, their sales reps. And then I guess they have a newer category called like influencers, which is, it's lovely and fun to tell everyone, oh, I'm part of the influencer group. But yeah, so we were invited out to just go see their new releases. So we were able to see a bunch of things that were coming, some that have released now. Nomos is a brand that Vu and I started giving each other back and forth a couple years ago. Actually, he gave me my first one for my 30th birthday, so 6 years ago. It was like a couple years. 6 years ago, he gave me a Nomos Tetra for my birthday, which I was like, I love this square watch. It's really fun. And then we just started giving Nomos back and forth because a little more attainable price point. We loved that they were, you know, all in-house. They're making everything there. And so from posting some of those online, I got to know the Nomos team. And so they had invited us out to their forum last year, but we weren't able to go. And then they invited us again this year. And I was like, oh, it was just so cool to actually get to be in Glashütte, like, and with our, you know, watch nerd friends who we made friends with them through watches. So the four of us were definitely like a kid in a candy store. We like went to Glashütte, to the museum. We're like, oh, watches. You know, it's like where you can really be your truest watch nerd self. And then at the Nomos Forum, you know, it was getting to see everything new and just hearing more about the brand. And it was really cool because at the event, everyone who was working, like including people who were serving food or coffee, like it was all of their team that came together. So you're like, oh, you're also the CFO and you're, thank you for a coffee. So it's just like, I really liked that feeling of this small brand. And since we have quite a few Nomos at home, it's like being able to just like be in this small workshop and you're like, my watch came through here. It just felt really special.
I'm getting very jealous. when are we invited to these press trips?
I think we need to work a little bit harder.
Yeah, this was my first one, if it makes you feel better. And I was like, oh, I'm so excited to be here. They're like announcing new things. And I was in the back and I was like, woo, I love it. And everyone's like turning around because, you know, it's like not. But I was like, I'm an influencer. I'm excited. I'm a watch nerd. I'm not here. Like, I'm just here to be like, this is cool.
Yeah. I just feel like our letters got lost in like the Hogwarts mail. Like the owls must just not have found us.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you're going to London next weekend, so I guess it's just me. Yes.
Yeah, well, I mean, I didn't get an invite there. I just have to go myself, but
yeah. We're waiting for like, you know Bryn Walner, Dimepiece. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm waiting for those like business class press trips where they just sort of jet you around.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, from an environmental and sort of other perspectives, it's probably not great, but I am so just jealous.
Yeah, it does. I do think, you know, when you see it, it's all like very glamorous and exciting. But then also it's like anything when the part of it is your full-time job, which it is for Bryn, you're probably like, have to go on another long trip. You know, it's like there, it's fun and also it's a lot of work too.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I guess.
But the fun side looks really fun.
Like, I just like, I'd love to see somebody, a handwritten invitation with my name and then the, like the Patek Philippe Calatrava cross and then just give it to me.
So what do you guys have more coming up when it comes to YouTube and podcasts? Because I've seen stuff. Yeah.
Tell us about the influencing.
Yeah, I know. Well, the thing is, I'm always like, we're very ambitious. But we also, this isn't our full-time job. So we will restart. So Vu and I started a channel, I think, 2 years ago on watch photography. And we really loved doing it, but we only released 3 episodes, got a lot of amazing feedback, and then we were like, we're too busy now. So we have rebuilt a new set in the garage, and so it's like we keep saying, like, I think we were like June, October, you know, so we're like sometime. We're like, now we need to release it before we get to that anniversary again. I'm like, oh, we're never doing this. Because I mean, it's just really fun to share the hobby with both photography and watches with your partner, and that's quite unique for us to love both things. So I think we will be coming back, I say, without committing to any date or time.
Because speaking about partners and commitment, I do have got a question from Bansh, mm-hmm. who hosts this podcast when we're not taking over. And he says, first of all, Lydia, long time no see. Yes. also, his wife is really into jewelry. Mm-hmm. And I think he's realized that that is a dangerous combination of the two of us. But
yes, he's keeping you apart forever.
No, it's too late for that.
Yeah.
but he also asked, what's Vu's new hobby? Or ooh, what's hobby of the moment?
Yeah, so we talked a lot about this when we were on their podcast, is that like Vu is very, he gets very deep into hobbies, which means that then we're like, you're listening to I'm listening to podcasts about this. It's like we're talking about it.
Basically, is that a guy thing, like you can't do anything halfway?
I don't know if it's all guys, but it's definitely the one I have. He's like he's more into things than most people. It's like everyone that we know is like, if Vu gets into something, then you're going to have to buy it too. Because he's also like so charismatic and like, this is so cool. So he's getting back. He's was into woodworking when we were on the podcast. And he has since made like really cool, like he made a full beautiful chair that's like handmade.
What?
Yeah, I know, right? It's like, oh, okay, that's a thing someone does, just like a full chair. And then I claimed it and it's mine. And I have that on the record. It's mine no matter what. Because I was like, this chair is beautiful. So he's still very into woodworking. He has many chair orders. Here's his beautiful chair. So it's all handmade. It's very looks like
Danish master sort of thing.
Right.
Yeah. My first chair wouldn't look like
that. No, I know. Well, that's the thing. I'm like, he gets very into it, but wow, he's also very talented at, you know, like he really absorbs everything before just like me. I'm like, oh, let me try this thing. And I'm like, oh, I'm not good at it. But he's like, I'm going to learn. I'm going to figure it out. So it's like a beautiful full wood design. It was made out of like oak, just pieces of oak boards. Like he did everything on it. So he is still very much into woodworking. He owes me 3 chairs. Whenever anyone's like, I want a chair, I'm like, no, this guy's got back orders for years. He's got a lot of stuff to make me. And so today when we were listening to podcasts in the car, it was all about band saws, and they were doing, you know, the zzz again, you know, like you just walk by, it's like, that is not a sound. It's bad enough in the garage, let alone on a podcast. They're like, this is the sound of a band saw. Like, okay, sounds like the dentist.
Couldn't he make like really beautiful watch stands for you?
He has. I have heard that I will get a beautiful watch stand, actually, and a beautiful watch box, which I was like, okay.
And now it's live on a podcast.
Yeah, so basically, you all heard it. Please bug foobooey.watches.
We actually have a friend, shout out to Max from the TRTS network, who does wooden loops. The watch loops?
Yeah.
Like, we actually have one on the table, but it's in stainless steel or something. From olive wood.
That's beautiful.
Maybe you can make him make you a loop.
Ooh, or I'll just buy one from your friend. We don't want to cannibalize on his beautiful loops.
That's true.
There's woodworking projects for everyone.
I mean, it's basically wood shop, but just elevated.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like me saying, I like taking watch photos with my iPhone, and then you guys come in, and then it's watch photos that are pieces of art. Like, I would probably happily, you have a picture of your Black Bay in water with these flowers that I really adore that I don't know the name of.
I don't either, but they look like coral.
Yeah. And like, I'm like, that would make a pretty nice poster.
You can have one. I will send it to you. You'll be my first poster.
Oh, beautiful. because that's really cool. And I think, but speaking of that, we have a standing segment which we call FMK. Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with the concept of, and excuse my profanity, fuck, marry, kill?
Yes, I am.
And seeing as one of Sana's didn't get recorded because I screwed up the recording once before, we've decided to have two.
Okay.
In honor of having a guest.
Okay, awesome.
Because we also wanted to be the one to set the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
So, should I FMK number one, okay. Sana.
Yeah. Okay, so I've decided to go movements.
Ooh, okay.
So, manual wound, automatic, and quartz.
Mm.
And you have to tell us why.
Yeah, I know. I think, oh man, that one's hard.
Hannah can go first if you want to think about it.
Okay, go first, Hannah, and then I'll be like, ditto. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm going to stay true to what I said last time that didn't get recorded. And going to say that if I'm going to have a quick romp with anything, I need it to be accurate, I need it to work, and I need there to be zero messy after business. So my one night stand is a quartz movement. Because reliability.
Yeah.
It's sort of what you want. You're a little bit drunk. Stuff gets sloppy. And then my ride or die, my marry. I mean, I still like there to be a sense of complexity. You don't want there to be like nothing to talk about, nothing to fidget. You still want there to be some work.
Mm-hmm.
So the one I choose to marry is automatic, because if you leave it for too long unattended, like, a marriage needs to work, and so a little bit so does an automatic watch. And then I'm just too lazy for a manual, I think. Yeah, that's where we're at.
You're like, not if you leave it just for a day. No, that's too much maintenance. Get out of here.
Yeah, there needs to be a power reserve. But like, if I give it attention and wear it, it'll be fine. So where were the automatic for marriage?
Those are really good reasons for those three. Yeah, I feel like the hard part is like quartz is what, you know, the watch world would pick to kill, but it's like, it's so useful and nice. And sometimes it's great to just, like you said, it's like reliable. I don't have to worry about it. Every once in a while, I change the battery. Everybody's happy.
It's like the watch equivalent of going to like a McDonald's and get a cheeseburger.
Yeah, exactly. But it's also like what got so many of us into watches. And so I'm like, I love, like, I didn't, when I started, when I had my tag, and it's quartz, like, I didn't care because it was like learning to love a watch. So I always feel like that snobbery, especially when you're getting into it, is like, why? So I can't kill. For that reason, you can't be killed. I do like your reasoning for it being, not the marry though, for being the one night stand. I guess. But I probably would go automatic for Mary. Probably manual for... I'm going to actually have to kill quartz. Because like, there's not a good way around it. And I actually love a manual wind watch because I think it's just nice. It's like there's some... Okay, I'll switch. Now, I feel that you had more time to think about this. It's very unfair circumstance. Okay, I'm going to go marry manual. Because you know what? A relationship is hard. You need to wind it up every day. You need to, like, you know, spend time thinking about it. It takes work, but it's reliable and beautiful. Then I'll do automatic for the one night stand. And I will kill quartz because maybe it is, you know, a little too dependable, so it's boring.
Good answer. Yeah, because I mean for marriage it has to be a mechanical one. Mm-hmm. You know, but I would marry the manual. And I'm just going on looks here. I like the look of a manual one. You know, they're more beautiful, like, in average. And I just hate rotors. They're they annoy me. Like, you know, at work, I'm trying to look at a movement and I'm trying to find out.
Who are you?
But yeah, exactly.
When I'm trying to find out what caliber a watch is and the rotor is always in the way. I do love a micro rotor. Mm-hmm. Yeah, love them. But otherwise, they're always in the way when I'm trying to look at something in the movement. So no, I'll kill the automatic because it will just annoy me. And then
it will just annoy me. You're yeah, dead.
Yeah. I don't want to see it. Then I'll marry the manual one because mm-hmm, it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, you know, yeah, for the practical reasons, it's good to have a quartz once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, very different answers. And now it's my turn. And we discussed this over the weekend, but then I had a meeting marathon yesterday and forgot about it. But I did have an idea that we are going to pick three watches from your collection.
Mm, okay.
Yeah. And I wanted to be like a fair sort of comparison mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. We wouldn't want to make it too easy for you.
Yeah.
So we have the Tudor Black Bay 54.
Mm, uh-oh.
We have the Oyster Perpetual Celebration. And then we have your first date, Just.
Oh. Okay, you actually, like, really nailed it. Because it would be a lot. Like, there's many other combinations that would be much easier.
I mean, you sort of, if I were ever to pick the Oars, you sort of killed it already in the podcast.
Yeah, there's, like, certain ones where, like, oh, okay, that's easy. So I'll say very good because the date dress is obviously, like, the watch that made me fall into love with watches in the way of, like, the Cartier got me into watches, but wearing the Rolex every day was like, okay, now I see that like I will never be without a watch again. The Celebration is just like fun and beautiful and special and interesting. And then the 54, when it got released, that was one where I was like, eh, take it or leave it. Then I saw it in person and I was like, I love this watch. Like that was a sort of instant fall in love. And then I was like, you know what? I'll only get it on the rubber strap because then it's like not like my Explorer. Like it's on its own. Now I have also bought the bracelet. That's the dumbest way to do it in that order. But I love the 54 so much. So you picked like the perfect other watch to like really mess with me. So I'm going to do... Celebration's obviously the one night stand because it's fun. You know, you can't wear it every day. Like, it's amazing and interesting and cool, but it can't be your daily wear because it just, I mean, technically speaking, it is an amazing tool watch. So yes, it could be, but color wise, you know, it's a little too bright and poppy. Oh, that 54 though. The reason I'm having a really hard time is because I think the Black Bay 54 fits my style perfectly because I have a bit of that, like I said, kind of military inspired, vintage, but it's new. Like it's all the things that like, it's kind of like your Longines. It's like when you have something where like, okay, I don't know, like this watch I just love so much. So I'm going to kill the date Just, actually, which would be very hard. And I'm very glad I don't have to make that decision.
Make it look like an accident.
But I'm going to marry the 54 because I think it's just like, it's got something that I like really, really love. I actually love it so much that Vu really pitched that it would be our anniversary present because I got him the Tudor Pelagos, the FXD.
Oh, nice.
And I got him the MN21 because that was our anniversary year. So we're like 2 years later and we just keep like haven't picked what I should have. And when the 54 came out, he was like, yeah, but that's a perfect watch. Like that, then we both have Tudors, like it's perfect. And I was like, nah, it's like a maybe 5 to 10 year watch. I don't know if it's like a forever watch. And then I bought it for myself and I was like, it's a forever watch. I love it so much. So now it may transition into becoming an anniversary watch. It has been put away right now as it might be rebought. So that will be sold, but in the family. And that may be my anniversary watch because I just love it. Like, I love it in a way that I did not expect. So I'm going to have to say Mary for the 54, especially if it's the anniversary watch.
I think that's, yeah, not sure I was expecting that, but yeah, sure.
I know. I'm like,
the one night stand with the celebration, that's
more expected because you keep,
But I'm curious to hear your thoughts, Sana.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I'm with you with the celebration. I'm on. Come on. It's a fun watch. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's
a good time.
Yeah. It's a good time. And I probably would have answered this differently a while ago. Mm-hmm. But we actually met at a breakfast event a while ago, and I tried on the BB54 for the first time. And I've seen it before, and it's like, yeah, nice watch. And now I tried it on. And I posted some pictures from that event, and I've never had that many people tell me, like, you need to buy that watch. That, like, yeah, that is kind of my, you know, it's on my list. I think I need to have one.
That and the engineer.
Oh, yeah, an engineer as well. But, yeah, so I would definitely marry the Black Bay 54.
Whoa.
Yeah, and I'll leave the date just to you.
Oh, no. This is... So I thought I was going to love a date just, but, you know, as it turns out, I know yours is on an oyster, which sort of works in its favor.
Mm-hmm. I do have it. I did buy a Jubilee, though, because I needed to, like, reinvigorate it. And I do like a date just on the Jubilee without the fluted bezel, because it doesn't get so showy.
Yeah.
It's still, like... classic.
See, maybe story. That's where I went wrong in thinking when I was going to get... We talked about this in an earlier episode. I had to watch Identity Crisis because I thought I was going to love the fluted bezel. I mean, I'm a show pony. If my spirit animal, it would be, you know, in circuses, the little Shetland pony with all the feathers and bedazzled. That would be me.
Someone has to dress up this animal and make it adorable.
Yeah. And I'm also vertically challenged and a little bit, you know... So many similarities, but no, it has to go. Sorry. It has to go. So in this, we're all similar, but then I'm the wonky one. Mm-hmm. I have colored stones on my wedding band, which is a break from tradition.
Yeah.
And I am thinking, you know what? If I had the celebration dial, it would match all my outfits somehow or not. So I'm marrying
that's
one.
Cool too. Yeah, that's a good marry choice.
But then I figured the Black Bay 45, 54. Jesus. 54 would be, I think if that translated into a man, because that's my preference, he would show me a good time. So, yeah, with you on the, sorry, Dave, just, but swapping it around for the others.
Nice. Yeah, I think the 54 is like a surprise watch, and it's also the watch that I know that it's the first time
I haven't tried it on. Maybe that's why.
I think you'd really like it. It's the first time that I have a watch like in the watch community where since it's released, I know more women than men who bought it. And I'm like, hello, you know, like that.
But women and tool watches is a badass combination. I love it.
And it's like, it is a perfect size, like you said, like when you put it on and then when people saw it on your, like, I just love the way it looks. It's so nice. At first I thought it was kind of boring. That was actually my like concern. I was like, this doesn't have much. That makes it even better. I just love it so much, and I think it's so cool. I'm like, oh, I could name five women that have it that are my friends, which are like, it's a new you know, like, it's a new release, and then here's another one. So it's, I was like, Tudor, keep going.
Yeah.
We like it. It's perfect.
And I think, more women should wear tool watches. And I think more men should dare to go down in sizes and wear something more dressy, because you might be surprised.
Yeah. I mean, I think whenever, like, because watches, anyone can wear them. It's a really cool thing. And when you do have brands that start to have a more diverse range of sizes, it just allows different people to get into different things, which is really nice.
Yeah. Because as much as I like the Deep Sea Challenger Rolex, like, I would be walking loopsided because you'd need to be the rock to rock that. But yeah, I think more diverse sizes and not brand them as anything. Just be like, here's a watch. Mm-hmm. This is the size. See if it fits your wrist, if you like it. But speaking of that, because I've been thinking about this a lot, because, you know, watches, men, women, It's always on my mind. Mm-hmm. What has been consuming your watch mind lately?
I have been thinking, I mean, so since I got the Chopard, which was very recently, I've just been going down, and like when I showed my dad, I thought it was fun because the thing he said is like, it doesn't have diamonds on, mm-hmm. diamonds floating around. And it's like, that is one of the things, you know, the happy diamonds is something that they're known for. So I've definitely been chrono 24-ing a lot of like vintage Chopards, just looking, because it's like just not a brand that I've looked at a lot. And honestly, if I would like, I have spent like no time with the brand, so seeing this in a window and being like, I need that one, was as much of a surprise to me. And it's like, it said right there, Chopard. I was like, okay, that's interesting. And so I've just been kind of looking around at the different things that they're making, because I think it's really fun when you like learn about a brand that it's like amazing and old and interesting things, but I just hadn't really thought of it before. So I love like just scrolling Chrono 24 and like looking at the back cat, you know, like starting from the least expensive and just seeing like, oh, that's a and they have really cool, like super cool things even in the happy diamond, like older collections, which I would not say diamonds are my typical thing, but I was like, this is kind of fun to just like think about and look at. And then otherwise it's just like watch photography is always in my mind. Like, oh, I haven't shot a photo this week. I really need to. What about you, Sana?
Well, I mean, my mind is definitely in London right now, going to the Watch Pro Salon this weekend. Mm. But I think I better talk about that when I've actually been there. So, you know, I'll save that for the next episode or something. Mm.
Have you been to that before?
No, it's the first time. So I'm really excited. Cool. Yeah. Meeting up with people from our TRTS network, and yeah, really looking forward to it.
That's awesome.
I'll just live vicariously through you.
But I'm right now kind of at like the other end. If you're looking at Chopard, mm-hmm. I'm looking at Swatch.
Cool ones.
Yeah, because the thing is, Hannah has decided this, and I always do what Hannah tells me to. She said that when I get 1,000 followers on Instagram, I need to celebrate with a bottle of bubbles. Ooh, and a Swatch.
Nice.
So I've been scrolling through Swatch watches to find out what am I getting, because I'm kind of getting close now. And then, of course, they come out with the new release now just a couple of days ago. And I'm like, yeah, that's it. The new Simpson one with the pink donuts.
With the donuts. Yes. It's so cute.
It's also my daughter's absolute favorite treat is pink donuts. So that's perfect. It's just perfect. Match so now I just need a couple of more followers so I get to buy my watch.
Can we make it happen with this episode? Is that the thing?
Let's do it.
Yeah. So anybody who's not following Sana at Winds Me Up, please do.
You will see nice photos and she will get a donut watch. Come on.
And if you ask nicely, she'll recommend the perfect watch for you. And she has like 100% accuracy rate of that. Yep.
That's a good idea to get the Swatch. But I like that you're like, but I'm not counting the Moon Swatch I just won. That is separate.
Oh, no. Of course. No.
Yeah, no.
No. No way. That's how you know you're a watch nerd. You're like, no. That's for something else entirely.
Exactly. I won that one. Yeah, that doesn't count. Same. No.
No, but we also set a goal like if you reach 10,000 followers, it's a strong.
No, that was only 5,000.
Oh, five. Ooh. Okay, no, yeah. Make it easy.
5,000 is a what?
A Straum.
Ooh.
Mm. Yeah. So my mind has been on getting Sana 2,000 followers, which is hard because I have fewer followers than you. It's like, since you got that pro photographer, it's like, ching. My God, I sound jealous in this episode. Yeah.
It's coming from a place of love.
It is. I mean, I'm just hoping to be a plus one when you get to go to Watches and Wonders. So on my watch mind, first of all, I think I found my 35th birthday watch.
Ooh, and this was what you were thinking about a date just.
Yeah, I was thinking a date just 36, okay. Vintage, probably a year watch, mm-hmm. Because I'm born 1990, mm-hmm. and the ones are really nice with the blue dial, because mm-hmm. blue is my favorite color, and I don't have a blue watch, mm-hmm. which is weird. And then I was thinking Jubilee and maybe like a combo of white, gold, and steel. Mm-hmm. And then I tried it on and I was so underwhelmed, and it was just, I was lucky that somebody outbid me, because otherwise I would have been stuck with a watch that I was like,
oh, no.
Yeah, but then we sort of, I sort of feel, I don't know why, but Rolex, it still feels sort of magical. Mm-hmm. And so I'm still sort of pretty firm in that position. And then I realized that maybe the way the lugs are and the way things fit, maybe I should go smaller, which is, if you knew me 2 years ago, you would have been like, say what now? And I have a thing for fonts. So I think I've actually landed on the Air King. Mm,
there's so many nice vintage ones. Yeah. Like the look of them, they're so cool.
And actually without Arabic numerals, mm-hmm. So just plain. And I'm thinking black dial, 34.5 oyster bracelet, plain bezel. So that's the one. And the issue is, I mean, I've seen a few at Kaplan's, but now I just need to save some money.
And you've tried that one on?
I did. Okay. And it was like, I was like, yep, that's okay, the one.
But then that's the thing. Like,
yeah. And it's sort of sitting firm in my mind. And I know it's a lot of people go like, well, the Air King, really? It's like, but I like things that are a little bit off. So that made sense. But then I have one more thing, which has been on my mind since yesterday. Mm-hmm.
And so long.
Yeah. No. And it's been, and I need your expertise.
Okay.
So my daily driver was a Garmin Fenix, which mm-hmm. is their multi-sports watch. It's massive. It's big. And it's sort of, I stopped wearing it besides when doing sports, because then it actually brings me something. Like, mm-hmm. it's nice when you're out running, you know your pulse. I have no sense of direction. Having a map function actually really helps. And then it's sort of, it's now 4 or 5 years old. And that's the thing about, I mean, smartwatches is they, like cell phones, mm-hmm. they just go old. And my husband, who's a professional sailor, he was in Italy sailing, and they won like best boat of the day. And mm-hmm. the prize was a Garmin Quatix, which is their sailing watch, a brand new one. Accidentally the same one I got him for Christmas last year. Yeah, so this could be a very sort of his and hers kind of thing. And in the team, there are 4 people, and they're like, who should get the watch? And nobody really wanted to sort of take 75% and swish the other people. Swish is Swedish Venmo. And so he got to take it home. And he's like, but you said you wanted a new one. Like, I'll give you my share, but you would have to sort of pay the others. Mm-hmm. But it's at a 30% discount. It's a brand new smartwatch, would sort of ameliorate all the issues I have in my current watch. And it would cost me like 400 euros. And it's objectively a great deal. It's just that smartwatches don't spark me any joy anymore. Mm-hmm. But I do see the value in them. And I'm wearing it now. Should I buy this watch?
It looks really good on you. I like the blue strap.
Yeah.
It's really pretty.
Yeah.
Will you use it?
I think I will when I'm doing sports, because I've stopped using my old one now just because it doesn't really mm-hmm. work anymore.
And you do sports a lot.
Yeah. And I need mm-hmm. it when we go.
Yeah, I was like,
Yeah, so it would actually be nice to have a watch that works for, yeah. And I actually spoke to Denke about this, and he was like, are you stupid? Yeah, get it.
I mean, especially because you'll use it all the time. I actually wear 2 watches usually. I mean, my Apple Watch is kind of under my sleeve. I don't prefer in the summer to have them both on, but I use it for the same thing, just like fitness and like sleep data. And you know, it's like it's not my everyday wear that I'm, you know, looking down at on my wrist all the time. But I think having that data and information, if it's important to you, then, and you'll wear it when you're doing all of those sports, it feels like a no-brainer.
And I'll just repeat my horrible motto: there will always be new money.
That is said like someone who loves buying watches. There'll always be new money.
Yeah, because that's the thing. I mean, November, I mean, with everything now, it's like, it's been a heavy watch year, so yeah. Not the richest this month. But
also, a Christmas gift for yourself.
You're just a terrible influence. This is bad.
But also, if you had said that your other one still worked perfectly, you really like it, you use it all the time, then it's like, well, are the upgrades worth it? But in this case, if you can't use it and it doesn't work, and this is a good deal.
And this one has Apple Pay. It has all of the things.
That's really nice.
Which my old one doesn't. Yeah. Because my one, it's really big because one of the first ones with the map, the smaller iterations didn't have it. This one is actually slightly smaller, which is good. I mean, you saw it big, but it's still significantly smaller and thinner. So it is, like, from a technical point of view, it's a good, and it's the one I would buy. Yeah.
The one you are buying.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess that's where we're at. Yeah. Okay, so I'm buying a new watch.
Yeah, that's decided.
And on that note, do we have anything else? Time to round things off. Or?
Yeah, I think so. I think we've been talking enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So second time around.
Yeah. Lydia, thank you so much for coming. And it was a pleasure having you here. It was so
Thanks
much
for
fun.
Thanks for having me and inviting me. It's so cool to just like talk watches forever.
No doubt.
Yes.
I'm sure there will be some off-mic watch nerdery.
Yes, for sure.
Oh, yeah. You'll miss out on the good stuff.
And if anyone's listening and don't know Sana, but they're in London for the event, do reach out to her at Winds Me Up.
Yes, do.
If you don't follow Lydia, I mean, almost everybody does, but do at Lydia's Watches. If you like diamonds and watches, you can find me at magpie_memoirs. I also need 1,000 followers, so I need a reason to buy a watch. Well, I guess I didn't need one, but here we are.
Any reason will do.
Any reason will do. And if you have any thoughts on our next episode, what we should talk about, do give us a shout. Our DMs are open. Slide into them. Thank you for listening.
Bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.